morning, everyone. Go ahead and take a seat, please. And welcome to the Court of Appeals live and in person. It's been some time for many of us, and it's nice to return and have our hearings conducted at the Judicial Center. We're addressing our calendar today, July 12, 2022. We have two matters that are set for oral presentation, and then we will recess to address our non-oral matters as submitted. With that in mind, I want to remind the attorneys that you each have 15 minutes for presentation of your case in chief, and then an additional 5 minutes is reserved to appellant counsel if you choose to use it for rebuttal purposes. Please remember to introduce yourself and the client you're speaking on behalf of verbally so that we have it for recording purposes. And with that said, I'll have our marshal call the first case for hearing.
Calling case number 822-0250, special education complaint 22-027C.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the court, my name is Amy Mace. I represent the Waconia Public School Districts. And in the audience today is Jennifer Freilich. She is the special education manager for the school district. The facts of this case are laid out in detail in the party's brief, so I'm not going to spend a lot of time on the facts this morning. There is no dispute about the material facts related to this matter. This case involves three siblings, all of who qualify for special education services, and who in August of 2021 had individualized education programs, also referred to as IEPs, in effect, which called for special education services to be delivered in person at an elementary school in the district. The parent refused to send the students to school when the 2021-22 school year began because the board had not adopted a mask mandate, and she was concerned about COVID and her students' medical status. The parent did not present any new medical information to the district at that time that the students could not safely attend school. The parent advised the school district that she was withdrawing the students. When the parent did not send the students to school and also did not withdraw the students from school, the district reached out to the parents. The parent hung up on the special education manager. In response, the district promptly scheduled IEP team meetings to discuss the parent's concerns. A review of the video of that meeting, which is in the record, will show that the parent was rude to staff, disrespectful, non-cooperative, and provided contradictory messages as to where she would like the students to receive their services. The school district, although having no new medical information, attempted to work with the parents by proposing a setting that would provide the students with a very small classroom, not a very small classroom, but a small classroom setting, with two masked staff members and only the siblings. The location was in the district offices. It was located close to an exit door, had a bathroom across the hallway. The proposed IEP explained the cleaning protocols that would be in place and that masks would be worn by staff.
Ms. Mace, I know that you stated at the outset that there were no factual disputes in the case. However, the department noted in its decision that the district, quote, acknowledged it did not provide the students with special education and related services in conformity with their IEPs. Do you dispute that fact finding that was made by the department?
I do in the context of the use of the word provide, and we can jump to that. It is accurate that the students did not receive special education services. The reason, however, that they did not receive special education services was because they did not come to the location at which those special education services were to be delivered. And the key part of that language that you just read is in conformity with their IEPs. The IEPs called for the students to receive special education services at school. It was impossible for the school district to provide services in conformity with the IEPs when the students did not attend school.
Is it your position that the word provide, as used in Minnesota statutes, is ambiguous?
I think the word provide means what it commonly means, which is to make available or to supply. which, you know, if I was going to provide a home-cooked meal to someone in my home, in order to provide it, they would need to come to my home. The MD's interpretation of provide would turn special education law on its head. Special education law is based on providing services that are set forth in an IEP. Typically, when the MDE looks at an IEP, they're looking at whether that IEP was implemented as written. And this IEP as written called for services to be provided at school. So to implement it as written, the students would have to come to school.
Is this how you distinguish your case, the Waconia School District, from RMM?
Yep. So the RMM case, first of all, it's very different facts. The RMM case is all about whether...
private versus public.
Yep,
right.
And whether districts have an obligation in Minnesota to provide FAPE to private school students. So in that context, when they were using the words available and provide, the school district's argument was, come to the public school district. We make FAPE available at the public school district. But what the courts and the hearing officer said in that case is that in Minnesota, the law is broader for privately placed students than it is under federal law. In Minnesota, you have an obligation to propose an IEP for parentally placed private students that provides FAPE. That was not the case. The school district did not believe that was the law based on federal law, because federal law does not say that. So they had proposed an educational plan that, for example, did not include math services. Math services was an identified need. The district did not believe it needed to propose that because it didn't have an obligation to provide FAPE to private students. So the argument in that case by the district was that we make FAPE available in the public school. Come to the public school if you want to receive FAPE. And the court said, no, you have to provide a FAPE to parentally placed private students, meaning you need to propose an IEP that will provide them FAPE even if they elect that they would like to attend a private school. So the context of that case is completely different than the context of this case. In that case, they found there's a deficient IEP. There wasn't an IEP that was proposed in order to provide FAPE. Here, there's no finding by MDE that the district did anything wrong. They did not find that the IEPs were deficient. They did not find...
But how do you tie that up with, then, the decision saying that mathematics were to be provided?
So that's in the RMM case. That's the RMM case.
Oh, that's right. That's right. I'm sorry. Yep. That's not your case.
That's not my case. Right. My case, MDE admits they don't dispute. There's no analysis of the IEPs in this case. Their standard is a no-fault standard. So their belief is that although we don't have to find that the district did anything wrong...
So the content was sufficient. It was just the manner of providing it.
Their whole premise is just that because the students didn't receive services, we have to make them up.
Right.
And so, for example, I'll give you some real-life examples of cases I've had where this would turn special education on its head if we have to start providing services to students even though they don't come to school. So, for example, we have situations where parents will agree to a level 4 setting, a very restrictive setting. And then after their student attends for a while, they might change their mind and they might think, you know, I don't like this setting. Well, under this analysis, you just have your kids stay home. The district's going to have to make up all those services. Even though it stood ready to provide those services in the IEP that the IEP team agreed to, you can just pull your kid from school.
What about the argument that MDE is making that this was not an adversarial process, that really the decision is focused on, you know, what the children received, we'll use the word received, and, you know, this is a decision that retroactively looks at the fact that they you know, didn't receive the services that were required. And so, you know, regardless of fault, the children should receive the services. I'd like to hear your take on that argument.
Sure. And again, I would argue that would make a standard in this case that just doesn't exist under the law. There is not a strict liability standard under the law. And if you look at the regulation that governs the MDE's authority to provide relief in complaint decisions, which is 34 CFR 300.151B, if you look at the wording in that regulation, the title of that regulation is Remedies for Denial of Appropriate Services. It talks about where that in, to resolve a complaint in which the state agency has found a failure to provide appropriate services. It talks about the agency can order relief to address the failure to provide appropriate services, including corrective action. When I read, I think a plain reading of those words, denial, failure, corrective action, leads to a fault analysis. Because if there's nothing to correct, you shouldn't be ordered to take corrective action. And what I would point out that is especially significant is the cases that MDE relies on. There is no case they rely on that has facts similar to this case, where a court hasn't found that the district did something wrong.
Let me ask you this, Ms. Mays, because in my head I'm trying to decide if this is a fact-specific matter related to the district or if this is something that is a first impression in Minnesota because of the definition of provide. Do you think this is a matter that is precedential? And if so, do you have any suggestions as far as the syllabus point?
I do think it's presidential. I mean, I think if this court were to agree with MDE that there doesn't need to be fault and that districts just have to provide services and make up services regardless of a parent's reason for pulling their student, that is presidential. Because that is not, as I said, there are no cases where comp ed is awarded and the court or the hearing officer doesn't find that there was a deficient IEP or a failure to implement an IEP as written. Here, the IEP called for in-person services. I think provide means make available. And when you look at, you'll find the words make available in IDEA. They talk about the state has to have a system in place where FAPE is made available to disabled students. FAPE was made available to these students. They did not access them. Think about, what we really had and what led to the filing of the complaint was a situation where the district was in a position of having to say, you know, we're going to report the students as truant if they don't come to school because they need to get an education, and we have no obligation to go into your home or to deliver services elsewhere. We have an IEP that says the students will receive services at school, and we've proposed a safe alternative that you also have rejected. And so, I mean, this case would require in any scenario where parents decide, you know, I think my kid's getting bullied, district investigates and says, you know, there's no evidence to support that assertion. Parent says, well, I disagree. I'm going to pull my kid. You'll have to make up the services. The school district has staff, you know, ready and willing and able to provide services. And in this situation is now having to potentially pay for private services that the parent can go out and obtain, even though staff was ready, willing, and able to provide services at the time, and even though the IEP team had decided what the services would be. IDEA doesn't allow a parent to dictate that they've decided they don't want the location in the IEP. So I do think it's a precedential decision.
Counsel, if I could just interject for a minute. So this all occurred during the pandemic and I mean, is driven largely by, it seems like, the parents' concerns and the physician's concerns with the kids' risks. Was the department's decision influenced at all kind of by the guidance, like do the best you can? There's the October 2021 letter from the children's physician saying distance learning should be an option for these kids because of their medical conditions. You know, and well, after, I mean, the ALJ did find that the November, was it 21 plan was okay. There was nothing wrong with that. I mean, the kids still... I guess all I'm trying to say is these kids weren't getting educated. You got a doctor saying they should have the option to participate in distance learning, and we're kind of in the middle of a pandemic where everybody's having to be nimble. So I guess another way of asking Judge Werke's question of
is this just kind of fact specific to the pandemic? And can we read it that way?
I don't think so, Your Honor, because I think the MDEs has clearly stated they think there's a no-fault standard in these decisions, and that whenever a student doesn't receive services, that we have to provide them. I mean, I think that's their interpretation. I would also state that the record is clear that the district offered options of distance learning, which at the beginning they told the parent how they could have accessed distance learning services through a district that they had arrangements with, and parents rejected that option as well. The district was not an online learning provider. It could not have provided those services themselves because you needed to be an approved online learning provider, but they had made arrangements with their intermediate district to allow students to do online learning if they chose to. Parents were well aware of that decision and didn't accept that as well either. And in terms of the doctor's letter, hearing officer's decision is very clear that the proposal by the district is consistent with the doctor's opinion, and that is the same proposal that was made in September. Also, when you look at the guidance and the law that was adopted in Minnesota, it's all related to disruptions to in-person learning, meaning when districts had hybrid or interruptions to in-person services. So when districts were operating on hybrid or distance learning models, it was not written with the idea that parents would unilaterally decide that they would not send their children to school. That is not the intent of that law. And I think it's very plain when you read the purpose provision of Minnesota's law.
Okay, your time has expired. You'll, as I said, the relator has 5 minutes for rebuttal, and we'll turn it over to respondent counsel.
Thank you.
Thank you, Your Honors. Good morning. My name is Kathleen Wrights. I represent the Minnesota Department of Education, the respondent in this case. In the audience are representatives of the MDE, Sarah Winter and Liz Stoneberg, and my co-counsel, Marty Casserly. May it please the court. The three young special needs children today failed to receive any special education and related services during the several months the school district and the parents were negotiating over the individualized education plans, IEPs. The school district argues it does not need to provide compensatory services because the district was not at fault. But that's not what the law is. To order compensatory services is based on educational deficits, not on fault. This is a pandemic case with very unique facts and a narrow decision to provide missed education opportunities. There are only two real issues for this court to decide today. One, did the MDE correctly order compensatory services? And two, was the way the MDE issued its order procedurally proper? The answer to the first question is yes, because the MDE investigator concluded that the three special needs students did not get any services for an extended period of time. The educational deficits resulted therefrom warranted compensatory services. The answer to the second question, the procedure, is also yes, because the questions addressed by the MDE was different from the questions presented in the due process proceeding. And MDE is required by law to address those questions. Therefore, this court should affirm the MDE's December 29, 2021 agency decision. The MDE is not asking this court to create any strict liability test. That's not what this case is about. We're simply asking this court to affirm a narrow order to address the unique facts of this particular case.
Ms. Wrights, don't we necessarily need to determine what the word provide means? I mean, that seems to be central to the case. And I guess that's my first question. And my second question is, if that is so, then perhaps this case is not narrowly limited to the pandemic circumstances here.
Thank you, Your Honor. the federal regulation and the state statute use the word provide, not make available or offer, and that means something different. When read in context of the IDEA and Minnesota education statute, for FAPE to be meaningfully provided, it needs to reach the students. The RMM case construing the same FAPE law rejected the school district's proposition that a Minnesota law requires only that public schools make a FAPE.
So where, excuse me, but where do you draw the line then? Is it the department's position that nothing wrong with the IEP and the parent just doesn't send their kids to school? There's no pandemic, there's no good reason. So the kids are not being provided with the services in their IEP. So the parents can then, 6 months pass, file a complaint and say, wait a minute, my kids haven't been provided with services. So I need some kind of award so that they can catch up. I mean, what is that the department's position? And if it's not, then where are we supposed to draw the line in interpreting the word provide?
Thank you, Your Honor. This case is a very fact-specific case driven by the pandemic. We're not asking to push it all the way as to there is no limit as to what the school district or the...
What specific rule, regulation, statute, then, are you relying on in this interpretation? And where do we find it?
Thank you, Your Honor. We're relying on the IDEA, on the FAPE definition, and the MDE's, the Minnesota state statute's definition of FAPE. But that's, it's not...
But not any COVID pandemic statute, rule, or regulation or guidance. Is that right?
Your Honor, we have provided with the court with several persuasive authorities where the U.S. Department of Education issued letters, guidance, where it talks about the pandemic under the circumstances. It is very specific to looking at whether the children have sustained educational deficits, and that's where we're at, is we're looking at if the pandemic has caused disruptions to the children's education, they have missed.
But you've got a school district that's in session offering educational services, so it's not a shutdown. I mean, I guess that's where I've got my problem is I don't know that you've cited anything to help guide us if we adopt the department's interpretation or defer to the agency, you know, where the line would ever be drawn then. I mean, how do you respond to the district council's argument that this is strict liability then? A parent just keeps their kid home from school and can file a complaint and services weren't provided, so therefore the school district has to provide a remedy for that.
Your Honor, we're not asking to create any strict liability test in this case. This is going to be a very special, particularized circumstance that is very unlikely.
Well, if you do say that's because of COVID, if you're saying that that's what drove this matter, what could they have done? What could the district have done? Because they offered to come into the home, that was refused. They offered the video that we all became familiar with, but the response was, well, you don't know my kids, that's not going to work. I mean, what is it that you're saying that they didn't do? What is it that you could have, would have, maybe should have told them would fit in this case? I just feel like they were up against a block. What could they have done?
Thank you, Your Honor. In this case, there's no doubt both the school district and the parent have made tremendous efforts to make things work. But respectively, it is not the MDE's role to come up with alternatives as to what the school district could or should have done. The MDE is required to evaluate whether the children had educational deficits after not getting services for several months.
But then, as Chief Judge Siegel indicated, I mean, to me that creates a ridiculous situation for a district to be in, because they can't, you can't force students to participate, and there's been no claim of deficiencies here. So, you know, I mean, our laws are supposed to be straightforward, sensible, and not to be have an absurd result. And to me, this seems like it makes no sense at all. That wasn't really a question, but I'm just injecting that as far as your position that there was no requirement to say maybe you could do this. I mean, what would have been, how would they, who should they have turned to as far as a remedy? To me, it seems like there was none.
Thank you, Your Honor. What the school district practically should have continued to do is to continue to negotiate with the parent to review and revise to propose additional IEPs, and if necessary, invoke the due process proceeding where necessary, and then meanwhile recognize that it needed to provide compensatory services to retroactively make up for the educational deficits incurred during this negotiation. So irrespective of what the what and how the ALJ ruled on the appropriateness of the newly proposed IEPs for future services, the school district has an obligation to provide comp services for the past missed educational opportunities.
I'm going to ask you the same question that I think Judge Gaitas asked, and that is the word provide ambiguous?
Your Honor, it is our understanding that the word provide, to the extent it needs to be applied to this particular pandemic context, is obviously that it has the meaning that speaks for itself.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear the very end, that in the pandemic context, and then...
It is our position that this word is ambiguous to the extent that we need to look for the interpretation of RMM and look at how that has been interpreted in the context of a special education law.
So the department's position is that it is ambiguous.
Yes, Your Honor.
And what are the alternative interpretations that make it ambiguous?
Your Honor, in this context, we look at the word provide and we can compare it to the word offer. Offer has a dictionary definition of to present for acceptance or rejection. And if we compare that to what the school district did in this context, the school district made proposals for the parent to reject or accept. And in this context, so far, as of the time of the case, the parent rejected what had been proposed.
So that's part of the negotiation for the revised IEP. But there was an existing IEP. And was, well, I think the district's, I think the department's position is there's nothing wrong with the existing IEP, correct?
The department's position is when there are obstacles to implement that, then the school district should continue to negotiate and make proposals to review and revise. But then in the meantime, to recognize that what this really is about is to provide retroactively make up services for anything that the children have missed.
So if we were to affirm, though, wouldn't that be a substantial change in the application of the law for school districts? Because then it seems like compensatory services would be awarded any time during the period of negotiation for a new IEP. So, which there has to be an annual revisiting, I think. So, I mean, is that what the department's position is?
Thank you, Your Honor. We're not asking this court to create any new laws as to any strict liability or no fault. Again, this is a very unique case where we have a very narrow order that is driven by the pandemic. The facts are very unique, where there was a perfect storm of the pandemic. and a family traumatized by the recent loss of a child to cancer caused by a genetic abnormality that is shared by one or more of the living children, causing them to be
I understand, and we are sympathetic to the, I mean, it's a tough situation, and nobody's, we're just trying to do our best here with applying the law.
I'm sorry. If here's what I'm hearing in my head, so tell me if I'm got this confused. What you're saying is that due to the unique circumstances here, meaning the pandemic, that the proposals made were not meaningful as it relates to the children?
I'm not quite sure.
You can make an offer. You can say, well, we'll do this, but if they're not meaningful, if they're not appropriate, maybe appropriate is what I should say.
Thank you, Your Honor. In this case, ultimately, there were new IEPs proposed in the due process proceeding, and then the ALJ, after the evidentiary hearing, ruled on the appropriateness. The MDE, as part of its legal proceeding, only touched upon the implementation and look at the educational deficits sustained by the children while everything was in limbo. And that is the extent of what really this agency decision is about. It is not about creating anything more than that, and we're not looking for a presidential decision. We're looking for a very narrow decision that does not need to be interpreted any broader than how it needs to be applied in this specific case to realize the educational right of the children that they're entitled to. Again, what special needs students have here is they have not received special education for an extended period of time. And we will not want to have a decision that implies whenever we have a parent that's difficult to work with, the school district gets a free card and is relieved of its obligation. We're looking for a narrow decision, and that's where we are here.
Thank you, Ms. Wright.
Thank you, Your Honors.
Relator.
First, I just wanted to get back to the word provide. And again, you need to look at it in the context of what it states in the law. It says provide services in conformity with an IEP. And here there was an IEP in place, and that IEP called for services at school. I also want to just comment upon this last comment about a free card. This was a district that worked tirelessly to try to put in place IEP services for these children. They met with the parent again and again. When the parent threw up roadblocks and did not want to have a facilitated IEP with the district, the district kept trying. When the parent wanted to propose a meeting for over a month in November, the district said, no, that's unreasonable. Your children are not coming to school. The district took the extreme step, very rare with school districts, of requesting due process hearings to try to get these student services. So this was not a free card to school districts because they were working with difficult parents.
Could remedial services be incorporated into future IEPs?
Meaning, could a school district decide that the students needed additional services in order to make the progress that they were expected to make? Certainly.
MDE is arguing, you know, that the order is limited to compensating the children's missed educational opportunities. Could an IEP also, you know, an IEP going forward also address the missed educational opportunities?
That's certainly possible. The IEP team can decide what they would like to put in the IEP for services moving forward. Yes, that's possible that a school district could decide to do that. Again, I think the inability of the MDE to answer what was this district supposed to do. They had made proposals to the parent. They continued to meet with the proposal. In the meantime, what's in effect is what they have the obligation to implement. They do not have an obligation to provide services wherever the parent demands them, depending on how the parent feels at that particular point in time. And contrary to what, you know, the MDE has stated, again, I believe this is a precedential case, because if this court were to say that there is a no-fault standard and provide means you need to provide services regardless of a parent's behavior and your ability to access the student to provide them with services that are in the IEP, that, again, is unlike any of the cases you will find cited in our materials, because there is not a case that I could find where a parent refused to send their students to school, a court or a hearing officer didn't say there was anything wrong with the IEP, and ordered the district to make up services. Cases that award comp ed look at whether there is a deficiency by the school district, either in drafting the IEP, they don't have the appropriate services in it, or in implementing the IEP as it's written, not an IEP that the parent decides she wants a different location in. That just is not the standard in the law. And I think the question is, how could the district have avoided this? The only way the district could have avoided a comp ed award is to have provided services in a location that was not in the IEP. So that's not providing services in conformity with an IEP, which is what the law says. And also, just as a point of reference, if you look at the hearing officer standard in Minnesota Statute 125A09, it talks about a hearing officer to award comp ed has to look at whether a district has made a FAPE available to a student. So this would also have the unique distinction of making the hearing officer standard, which does use the words make available, because it recognizes that parents aren't always going to access the proposal for FAPE. Parents can elect not to send their students to school. They can elect not to sign on to an IEP. The question is, do you stand ready and willing to make a FAPE available to students? And so parents would then be able to select, well, do I go to a hearing or do I go to the MDE where there's a no-fault standard, and as long as services weren't provided, I should be able to get a comp ed award. And then finally, I would just end that, again, the standard of review here should be a de novo standard of review, because this is an interpretation of the law. There is case law that says that a district can, or that agency interpretations can be given some discretion if it is a longstanding interpretation by an agency, or it is technical in nature. The word provide is not technical in nature, and this is not a longstanding interpretation of law by the MDE. There are no cases that look to RMM for this use of the word provide, which when you read the case is not as suggested by the MDE. So I just will end with that the standard of review should be de novo. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you to both attorneys for the